This is Dr. David D. Schein, and welcome to this special Saving America panel discussion on mass violence in America and what we can all do about it. And we also have Scott Paradis, retired as a colonel from the U.S. Army after a 30-year career, which included tours around the world in the U.S. He served as a congressional fellow with the United States Senate and as a national security fellow with the John F. Kennedy School of Government at Harvard University. He holds a Master of Science in Administration from Central Michigan University and a Bachelor of Arts in Sociology from the University of New Hampshire. He's the author of multiple books, including Sheep, Herders, Wolves. I have that nearby me here today. And Explosive Leadership. And I am using that book in my MBA capstone course, and the students have responded well to it. Scott facilitates people moving between limits by showing them how to think deliberately and productively. He has also been a prior guest on Saving America.
Well, thank you, David, for inviting me and giving me this opportunity to join you about this topic. Now, I agree with what Heather had said about the mental health, more drug use, more prescription drug use, the isolated nature of people in the health, the mental health conditions of folks who perpetrate violence. I just want to give you a couple of numbers to kind of put things in context. And this, I'm not trying to frame this in a negative way, but oftentimes when we have this discussion, we talk about guns and the number of people who die because, and they say, or guns are used that end up people dead. And so just the big numbers. This is 2020 numbers. We had 45,000 people die related to a firearm. Now, most of those were suicides, about 24,292, and about 19,400 were homicides. So we see there's more homicide deaths in the United States as a ratio than most other developed countries. The conversation always turns to the number of guns. So if you look at number of guns in society, another interesting statistic, we have more guns than we do people. More guns than people in the United States. It's about 120 guns for every 100 people, roughly 400 million guns in the country. Again, the guns aren't to blame for somebody pulling the trigger. It's the people who pull the trigger is what we need to be focused on here. But I just want to kind of give you some context to that. Just also in context, we lose about 40,000 people a year to automobiles. So again, no one's blaming the automobiles. There are some circumstances, but you understand what I'm saying here. It's not about the technology, it's about the people and how the people use the technology. So going to our gun situation, I'm from Alaska. We have the highest percentage of folks who own guns in the country are in Alaska. And I go out quite often hiking, and quite often I see people carrying guns. And they're carrying guns quite publicly and quite out in the open because where I go hiking, it's bear country. And people realize that they could be attacked by bears. So people carry guns, and it's not a threat to any human being. It's just, this is the circumstances, and this is the reality of where we are. When you look at gun ownership in the country, we have about 42% of households have guns. And many of those people were brought up with guns. Some are sports shooting, some are hunting, so on and so forth, have guns. So a lot of folks have guns, and the fight always becomes take guns, keep guns, take gun, keep guns. And really, I think the focus, like Heather had said, is really on the risk of violence. In the big picture of things, this is not the most violent of times. If you look at the statistics, we are not at a higher rate of violence than we have been in the past. As a matter of fact, the rates of gun violence were higher in the 70s, the 60s, 70s, and of all crime, highest in the early 90s than they are today. So we have had a declining rate of violent crime in the United States. So it's been declining. The challenge is, of course, any event that does happen, it gets huge media attention and does draw all of our attention. And they're very tragic events. But it comes back to, from my estimate, personal responsibility and what we are doing as a society to address isolation, disconnection, and mental health issues, the same things that Heather was talking about. So when we look at what causes us, first the question is, are we individually, do we want a less violent culture in the United States? On the face of it, we would say yes, but when you start saying violent culture, we start talking about all the things that we, I would say, you could say that we support or that celebrate violence. And we could talk about everything from entertainment, the entertainment media, what Hollywood does. We could talk about video games and our obsession with shoot 'em up video games. We could talk about our sports in some cases and violence in some of those fields. We could get into a number of ways that we relate to each other, but the question then comes down to, do we want a more civil culture and how do we do that? So part of it is the mental health issue of individuals, but really it's the health of our culture and our society. And we seem to be disintegrating. And Heather talked about that, you know, disintegrating our religious cultural base. We're disintegrating the family. All of those things are coming apart. And so the fabric of society is unraveling as well. Now, but put that in context of crime is at large decreasing in total. So things are, in fact, getting better. It just depends on the perspective. We are nowhere near perfect. We still lose 40,000 people a year related to firearms. We lose 40,000 people a year related to vehicles. So how do we try to reintegrate or tie our fabric back together again? And so just a couple of thoughts here. One is we've got to make a decision. Do I want a less violent culture? Would I want a more civil culture? Am I willing to change and help advance that? Because all change is personal. It always starts with an individual and always ends with an individual. And it's always an individual decision. It always revolves around what we think and how we think. So it's our thoughts translate to our words, translate to our actions, but it all begins with our thinking. The first place to address that, I would say, is reintegrating the social fabric. One of the places to start, now this is a sort of low-hanging fruit. We have religious organizations that are still intact, and so do they have an interest in reaching out across ecumenical lines, if that's the case, or across religious lines and start connecting with people? As I was researching for this, I said, okay, we talk about freedom. Well, you actually, the more freedom we have the freedom. If we want to, we can be free, we can connect, we can collaborate, we can cooperate. That's, in my mind, an ideal. Or we can be free to isolate and enclose and encage ourselves if we want to. And unfortunately, the folks who engage in violence are the latter rather than the former. They are deciding to isolate. And we have a lot of things in society that promote isolation, to get inside this little box that they then see the world from a very small perspective. And it's up to us to begin opening that box and begin reaching out. So religious groups could reach out, social groups could reach out. And this is just to have a dialogue. I'm not talking about necessarily the mental health issues that Heather was commenting on. I'm talking about just us being more civil with one another so that we understand that somebody might have a different perspective. Let's talk, let's understand each other's perspective, and we will all grow from the experience. So I get we have, everyone likes to point at guns as the problem. It's not guns that are the problem. It's people that are the issue here, and it's how we think. And it's our thinking that takes us down either a negative path or a positive path. What we need to do is connect, collaborate, cooperate, communicate, all of those C things so that we can understand each other better and reweave the fabric, the social fabric, so that we understand each other rather than lashing out, rather than focusing on fear, which is counterproductive as a basis for tying us together. Bring people together so that we can understand each other better, and we were less likely to then, when we do recognize folks who have mental health issues or have isolated themselves or in an echo chamber that is negative, we can recognize that and act. That is what I would advocate for us as an approach to helping bring down these incidents of really catastrophic violence.
Thank you so much for joining us. And this has been a special edition of Saving America regarding how Americans can address the issue of mass violence. This is Dr. David D. Shine. We really appreciate you joining us. If you've enjoyed this episode, please subscribe on your favorite platform.